And then we all come back for that great getting up morning, Sunday morning, resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead. And we call that, well, we don't call it Easter anymore around here. We call it Resurrection Sunday, all right? But the church calls it Easter. We call it resurrection. And it coincides with the fourth feast of Israel in Leviticus 23, which is called First Fruits.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of This Is Love, to Give One's Life. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of This Is Love, to Give One's Life.
Toward us, what wondrous love is this, O my soul? Oh, my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh, my soul? Let me ask you a question. Do you feel the love of Christ down in your soul? Has the love of Christ gripped your soul? Has there ever been a time when you stopped and you thought about, man, somebody said, how much did Jesus love us? And somebody asked Jesus, how much did you love us? And Jesus stretched his arms and hung his head. Need we say any more? Need we say any more? What wondrous love is this? And I like, as it goes on, to say here, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse of for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. That your soul was cursed. That you were, and some people don't like to hear this, but I got to tell you like it is. Some people, all of us, at some point, that we were bound for a godless and a Christless hell. There was a curse that was on our soul. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That when I was born with a sin nature. And because I was born with a sin nature, I was destined to be eternally separated from God. But what wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. That caused the Lord of bliss to bear this dreadful curse for my soul. The ultimate degree, greater. Nothing is greater than this. The ultimate degree, then we move to the ultimate expression. The greatest expression a person can show to another is love. There's a lot of things that you can do. There's a lot of actions that might characterize something that people do. But the ultimate expression is love. And the word love that's used here is the word agape. And that word agape is unconditional, it's sacrificial, and it's divine. Unconditional, agape, Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us while we were saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and worshiping in church. No. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This love is unconditional. This agape is unconditional. He didn't say, look, you know, there's a whole lot of people that think that, well, you know, I'm going to get right with God one day. You know, I got to stop doing this and stop doing that. You know, I got to clean up my act a little bit. No, God don't want you to clean up your act if you're not saved. He says, just come to me and I'll help you clean up your act. I came to Jesus as I was weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Oh, that's the way he wants you to come. He wants you to come with your sin. He wants you to come with your troubles. He wants you to come with your burdens. He wants you to come with all your mess. Why? He wants to turn your mess into a message. He wants to turn your test into a testimony. His love is unconditional, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's sacrificial, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he gave him to die on the cross. And I'm going to talk about that in a second, but this love is sacrificial. Now, thirdly, this love is divine. Let me read my notes because I think I can read what I wrote better than I can explain it. All right. The greatest expression one can show to another is love. The word used here is agape, and it stands for an unconditional, sacrificial, divine love. Since it is divine, I like this right here. I remember when I was growing up, there was a DJ. I forget what his name was, but he said, I'm seldom imitated, but not quite duplicated. I can't remember what his name was. So you know what? There are people that can imitate the love of God, but they can't duplicate it. They can imitate agape, but they can't duplicate it. Why? Because there are many people, many loving people who are philanthropists. I mean, they give out of a heart of love, and they help all kind of good causes. There are people that have love, and they advocate for the least and the lost. But you know what? They don't have this love. They don't have this love that I'm talking about. Why? Because this is a love that can only be attributed to God. But wait a minute. It doesn't stop there. It gets better. It can also be attributed to those who have the Spirit of God living in them. This is love. What are you talking about here, Pastor Glaze? You mean to tell me that that we can have this divine love that only God has? Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Galatians 5 says, for the fruit of the Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit, we talked about this last week, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the fruit of the Spirit, somebody help me, somebody help me, somebody help me, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? There you go. There you go. The first thing you got when the Holy Spirit came in, well, not the first thing, but one of the things, was love. You got divine love. And so you can love like God loves. Not in your own power, not in your own strength, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about something. We're going to take a quiz, and I want you to fill in the blank. And everybody's going to get 100 on this quiz. Right, everybody's going to get 100 on this quiz. Just like when my kids were growing up. You know, we used to do a thing where we would sit around the dinner table, and you know, after we got done eating, before you could leave dinner, that you had to answer a Bible question. And so, you know, we would ask questions from the Old Testament and, you know, questions from the New Testament. And it got to be a pattern that, you know, a lot of the answers was Jesus. So when my kids didn't know the answer, you know, we could say, who wrote the 23rd Psalm? Jesus? Yeah. So that got to be the answer. So we're going to give you a quiz this morning that everybody can pass, and everybody is going to be able to fill in these blank spaces. But this just goes to show you how the world, through songs, see the need for love. What the world needs now is
love.
Sweet
love.
All right. Somebody saw that. That's what the world needed. I don't know if they realized agape, but they realized that the world needed that. Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little in your heart. In your heart. All right. All you need is? All right. Here we go. Stop! In the name of? Money can't buy me? All right. Love. 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 That's what the world needs. It needs the agape of God. Jesus says greater love, greater love, greater sacrifice, greater unconditional, greater divine love. The world needs this love that God has. Greater love hath no man than this. And so let's look at the second verse of that song, the wondrous love. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. That when I was sinking down, I love the song that says, when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Oh, watch this, watch this. It was love that lifted me. It was love that lifted me. When nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Oh, praise God for the love that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my needs. It was this agape love. The ultimate degree, the ultimate expression. And then we see the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. In this verse, Jesus describes the greatest act one human can do for another, and that is to die for them. This was not just big talk by Jesus, right? He wasn't just talking big. You know, it's easy to say something, as I said many times from this pulpit before, it don't cause anything to run your mouth. So Jesus was just not talking big, but he backed it up by dying on the cross for all of mankind. This is what's called Christ's passion. And when you think about it, he sweat great drops of blood. And this is a condition called hematrosis, where blood is mixed with your sweat. And some tell us that this comes as a result of being under tremendous strain and tremendous pressure. That Jesus as God, he could endure the cross. But Jesus as man, he struggled with going to the cross. He said, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so he prayed in the garden. And as he prayed under the strain of the cross, he began to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And here the grief, here the pain, here the agony began in Christ, because he's saying what? This is love. Then they began to mock and ridicule him. They spit in his face. They slapped him in the head, and somebody said, prophesy and tell us who hit you. And then they took reeds and began to beat him in the head. This is love. And then they took a whip with little pieces of metal and glass ingrained in the end, and they began to tear his back apart where the flesh was open and you could see bones and organs became exposed. This is love. And then they took a crown of thorns, not the kind of thorns that we see on these little petals, but these were big thorns that when they put that crown on him, they jammed down on his head and ripped the skin from his forehead and from his head, and the blood began to come profusely. This is love. Then they nailed him to a cross. And as he hung there on the cross, he agonized, again saying, "Father, forgive them," asking God to strengthen him through that time as he nailed to the cross. And then they finally came and took a spear and put it up underneath his rib cage, according to many commentators, and poked a hole in his heart. And when they pulled it out, blood and water flowed out. And then he hung his head. He hung his head. He hung his head. And he died. This is love. And he says, "No greater love hath anyone than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The song says, "To God and to the Lamb I will sing." The Lamb of God who was crucified, the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundations of the world, to the Lamb of God I will sing, I will sing. To the Lamb of God I will sing. To God and to the Lamb, who is the great I Am, while millions join the theme, I will sing, while millions join the theme, I will sing. God's Lamb that was crucified for you and that was crucified for me. And then finally, we see the ultimate relationship. And this is deep, so stay with me on this one. The ultimate relationship, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The word friend here is philios. You know, we think of Philadelphia, right? Friend. The when we think of philios, friendly, Philadelphia, philios, city of brotherly love. The word friend here referred to a brother, but it was more than a brother. Because the idea here is someone who was dearly beloved. Dearly beloved. You know, your closest compadre, the person who is right next to your heart. Could be your wife, you know, could be a friend, but your dearest friend. Jesus said that that's what men do. That's what men do. That the greatest love is when a man or a woman would lay down their life for somebody that they dearly, dearly love. Ruminate on that for a second. Somebody that they dearly, dearly love. Think about who it is that you would take a bullet for. Think about who it is that you would be willing to give your life for. And I guarantee you something. I guarantee you that those numbers would be very slim, right? I can see it in your faces right now. I can see it in your faces right now. Those numbers would be very slim, and if I could go one step and say, even if any at all, right? Somebody say, "You know you're right on that," right? Wow. Man, for you to die for somebody, they would have to be a special, special person. Turn to Romans chapter 5. This is shouting. This is shouting grounds right here. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. When I was reading this yesterday, I almost started shouting, man. Romans chapter 5, verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." If somebody's righteous, you know, they might have a better chance, right? Now, notice the categories, right? We got the dearly beloved, right? That's the person that's close to your heart. Then there's the righteous person. maybe somebody will die for him. And perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, we need to shout that. We need to shout. Because I'll tell you what, that you weren't even in the inner circle. Jesus, when he was here, he walked with 12. One of them was a devil. Out of the 12, he narrowed it down to 3. And out of the 3, there was one that was close to his heart. You're not even in that group. But you included him. Oh, amen. Amen. Hey, come on, let's give God a hand on that. Let's give God a hand. That you are included here. Amen. You didn't make it to the inner circle. You weren't in the inner circle. But God said, I got your back. God said, I got your back. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, not in sitting at his breast, not one of the 3, not one of the 12, not a righteous man, not a good man, but when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, amen. 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 This is love. This is love. Fourth stanza of the song says, and when from death I am free, I will sing on, I will sing on. And when from death I am free, I'll sing on. And when from death I am free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through all eternity, I'll sing on, and through all eternity, I'll sing on. This is love, that one would give his life for another. There was a little boy who went to the dress store to buy a dress for his mother. And he didn't know the size, and the lady asked him, son, you want to buy a dress? What size is your mom? And he said, I don't know. And she said, well, I can't really sell you a dress if you don't know what size she is. And so the little boy said, she's perfect. She's perfect. And so the lady sold him a medium dress. A couple days later, the lady came back to the store to exchange the dress for a larger size. The son, he didn't see the largeness of his mother. He saw the perfection of his mom. And I just want to say that when Jesus died, he didn't see all of our quote unquote imperfections. He didn't see, you know, that somebody was this size and somebody was that size. Jesus didn't see that somebody had this much money and somebody had that much money. He didn't see that somebody was white and somebody was black. He didn't see that there was different economic stratuses. And he didn't see all that. All Jesus saw, that you could be perfect in him. That you could be perfect in him. And this is...
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of This Is Love, Personal Relationship. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This Is Love, to give one's life, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, to give one's life. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, to give one's life. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.